you, Mr. Martinez. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to see you here. Appreciate that. You know, I got to tell something on that wonderful song leader. He hangs around with the Rices quite a bit. So do you know how he refers to himself? Spanish Rice. Isn't that sweet? Of course, Sean is white rice. Listen, those jokes aren't original. I borrowed them. So, have a little fun. You know, it's good to smile, right? That's right. All right. How are we doing? All right, brethren. Appreciate that opening message very, very much, deeply. We love God's way of life. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of this sermon message is Trustworthiness. My job carries with it a license, and I am required to engage a number of continuing education courses each year. Am I causing this? You get a little bit of feedback there, a little bit of whistling. Should I come back this way? I don't know who put that up there. I really do. Is this going to be better? Maybe not, huh? Maybe I'm too close. I still hear a little bit of a whistle. There's But anyway, getting back to my job, I have to have a license to practice as a physical therapist. And every year I have to engage in certain continuing education courses in order to keep myself up to the standard that is expected of me. I was recently introduced to a course that presented a number of statistics that were honestly shocking to me. And I'm going to share those statistics with you. And they are statistics. They can be well documented and provable. The first one that was given to me was that 45% of the United States population is currently experiencing a psychological disorder that requires consistent administration of medication to manage. 45%. This list is not exhaustive, but it includes chronic depression, chronic anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, PTSD, better known as post-traumatic stress disorder, ADD, which means attention deficit disorder, and then ADHD, which means attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Another statistic of estimation was based on a number of surveys that had gone out from the psychological community of the medical world, states that 1 in 6 Americans have a psychological disorder that significantly interferes with the function of their daily lives. Now, when you look at these two groups of peoples, one is separated from the other in the sense that the first one of the 45%, they are capable of still fairly well managing their daily lives, day to day, but they do need medication. The second group of people, they not only need medication, but they need a caregiver to help take care of them. And I don't know the total number of what this involves, but it's a lot in this country. And these two statistics were focusing upon adults, not children. Brethren, my job takes me into the lives of a lot of people in their homes. And I witness some of this. It's very sad. I'd like you to go into your Bible to Luke 11. I don't mean to beat up on these precious people. They live in this day and age. And they live in this country. But I'm going to read a scripture here, Luke 11, in verse 13. Christ is stating this to his disciples, even though one of his disciples began the conversation. The disciple actually asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus Christ goes through an interesting parable. And then at the conclusion of it, he says in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus Christ addresses one of his disciples, but I'm just presuming that he was speaking to all the disciples that were present in his ministry at that moment. He called them evil. Pretty astounding, huh? It is also a very interesting statement of correction that Christ gives to a young man who comes to him in Matthew 19, and you don't have to go there. I'll go ahead and read this to you, but please feel free to put this in your notes. Matthew 19, starting in verse 16. This was even mentioned in today's sermonette. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus Christ was a physical human being in its entirety. He was capable of sinning, but he didn't. Brethren, recently I asked myself what appears on the surface maybe a silly question to ask. It might even be bordering on ridiculous. But I asked myself, why does a human being that desires to be a saint have to have the Holy Spirit? The answer to this question has a pretty long list when you get down to just the nitty-gritty and the fine points. But the purpose of this message, we'll take a look at just a few of the reasons, and I'm hoping that it will benefit to you as we move from this Passover day into the night to be much observed that marks the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Years ago, a booklet was put out by the Worldwide Church of God, and the title of this booklet was, What Will You Be Doing in the Next Life? I'm going to read what the author stated here. The author happened to be Herbert Armstrong. Why the Holy Spirit? I have been showing you step by step the way of salvation. Well, where are you now? You've been reconciled to God, your past forgiven, you have received God's Holy Spirit. But why? God's Spirit, first of all, is his very own life injected into you, the begettal of eternal life. You're now an heir of God, a joint heir, a co-heir with Christ, not yet an inheritor. The Holy Spirit injects into you also the characteristics of God. First of these is love. Not carnal or human love, but divine love, the love of the very Almighty God. Why? In order to keep God's law. That's why. How is God's law fulfilled? And this was elaborated on very, very well in the sermonette. Love is the fulfilling of the law. But carnal human love cannot fulfill it. Why? Because the law of God is spiritual law. It can be fulfilled only by a spiritual love, which is the gift of God. It is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And again, God gives His Holy Spirit only to them who obey Him. Also, it requires faith to keep God's commandments. And your faith is not strong enough. It requires the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the same faith He exercised and lived by during His human lifetime. God also gives you this very same faith by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit also imparts to you spiritual comprehension, the power to understand spiritual truth and wisdom and patience and spiritual power. All these are imparted to you from God by the Holy Spirit as His gift. But these are given to you to live by, to use in order to grow spiritually in knowledge, in grace, and to overcome. Brethren, today's message is simply a review of God's love and what He wants to do with it. We often speak about the gifts of God. Just go ahead and go to James 1. We have gone to this scripture numerous times. I say we because many of God's ministers try to emphasize the fact that God the Father is deeply, deeply, deeply involved in our lives. James 1, starting in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He changes not, brethren. The same God that we worship today is the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshiped, the God that Noah worshiped, the God that Abel worshiped. Continuing on in verse 18, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Brethren, do you realize that that is just simply a summary repetition of what is stated in Genesis 1:26? Go ahead and go all the way back to the front of your Bible and reread Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And I'll just stop right there. The purpose of the Almighty God. He wants to bring many, many children to glory. When you look at verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So Holy Scripture completely denounces this insanity that is being promoted in the United States of America, that there's over 100 different genders. The most epitome of satanic foolishness. And there are young people in God's church today that are being filled with it. Young teenage man right over here, he's in our nation's schools. But it's being promoted in kindergarten. It's blasphemous. God's word blows it out of the water. Brethren, the ministry of the house of God are in the process of emphasizing the purpose and the highest necessity of preparing a people for the return of Jesus Christ, so that they will be the bride of Christ and they will marry Him according to the timing of God's will. It is simply a no-brainer that we owe everything to God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We owe everything. I breathe because they've enabled me to breathe. I breathe their air. We owe our lives totally to them. You know, I lived a fairly decent period of time before I became aware of the first direct gift of God. In my mind and in my heart, I believe the very first gift and the most precious gift that I received from God was God Himself. Well, I sure don't mean to pick a fight with anybody, but there's a strong promotion in this country today that this country has known God the Father. That is not true, brethren. God the Father reveals Himself to those whom He wants for salvation. I think Jesus Christ supports this. Once again, I bet you know where I'm going to go. Once again, we go back to John 4. So much is said whenever Jesus Christ talked to that young lady. John 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. The Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The Catholic, Protestant world, the Hindus, Zoroast, fill in the blank, whatever religion is on this planet today, does not worship God the Father. You must worship in spirit and in truth. You cannot look at me and tell me that anybody that keeps Sunday, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day is worshiping the one true God. Pack a great big lunch, because you're never going to convince me of that. Holy Scripture is different, says differently. Jesus Christ Himself confirmed this in John 6. You know the Scriptures, 44 as well as 65. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That word draw, I love a precious commentary from the Forerunner Commentary where they elaborated on that word draw. The commentator stated that in the fullness of God's mind and will, an equally impacting word can be applied in the Scriptures to emphasize the word draw. It can be the word summons, that God summons someone. That word summon carries with it a measure of legal statement. I have no problem with that, because when you stop and think about the word summons, it carries with it an emphasis on the authority of one who judges righteously. We rejoice in this judgment because we know that the one who does judge and who summons us is the most high, sovereign, almighty, great ruler of the universe. He cannot lie. There's no evil near him or in him. None. Neither is there in his Son. Brethren, we have emphasized these Scriptures years and years and years, over and over again, that God has chosen, then He decided to elect to salvation, and those people will always remember the source of which our hope is from. That source can only come from God the Father and through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other source, none. We worship the one true God. We can't take it lightly. We can't take it for granted. We can't, I worship Him. We've been called to the greatest calling that there can be. We talked a lot about this last night at the Passover service. We gathered together to remember the supreme loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We did so in recognizing the symbols of His body and His blood that was according to God's will in showing His supreme love for us personally and through His Son. For He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we not perish. It's been mentioned in the past, each one of you, put your name there. It's just not talking about, you just don't want to bunch yourself up into humanity. Yeah, God loved us so much. Hey, listen, God loved you, Ralph Redline, so much that my Christ, my Son, is going to pay your debts. And He's going to bleed to death for you. And then He's going to die for you. Those that were present at the Passover engaged in the ceremony. They rededicated themselves to the supreme covenant that was made during their baptism. And I mean supreme covenant. That covenant is from the supreme court of the Almighty God. Nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing more incredibly valuable and magnificent. We valued and remembered the incredible gifts of God. The first is God the Father. I didn't know God the Father before He called me. I'd heard His name, God the Father, but I was clueless. He was the first gift to me. Then He introduced me to the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He blessed me with the gift of His Holy Spirit. And in preparation for the Passover, brethren, we recalled God's summons of us each individually. We recalled being led to repentance by Him. As Romans 2:4 states, it is God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Then we are given the true faith in the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ, as was mentioned in the reading here. Brethren, we were baptized with full immersion by a true minister in the true church of God. We had hands of the true ministry placed on our heads. We were prayed over, and that prayer was to request God to give the gift of His Holy Spirit. Brethren, this is the only way in the new covenant church of God that you can receive the Holy Spirit. It is the only way. I asked earlier, why do you need the Holy Spirit? To do the things that are pleasing to God is its most basic answer. As was mentioned in this writing, that God is imparting and injecting His very own life into us. Galatians 2. This is one of the most beautiful statements by a saint of God that is just so staggering. It presents such an unbelievable, stunning, speechless picture. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Can you picture yourself hanging on a stake? Can you picture yourself? Because that's what Paul is saying here. Picture yourself there. That's stunning. We remember what Paul reminded Timothy about. Let's go to Timothy, or 2 Timothy 1. I know these scriptures are review, but why not? 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice what the Holy Spirit enables. Power to understand and live spiritual truth, to come out of the world, to touch not the unclean thing, to flee fornication, to overcome and endure unto the end of the age. Let's go to Revelation 19. I love reading this section of Scripture right here, as I hope I love every bit of Scripture that I have the privilege of reading. But this right here is so incredibly personal, and I believe it's personal to you as well. Revelation 19, starting in verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Brethren, this chaos that is going to be worsening and worsening, it's got an end. It's going to end. Verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Those are the brethren that have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit through the process that I mentioned earlier. The second gift that comes to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit is love, that enables us to fulfill the law of God. Romans 13. Starting in verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Emphasis in the sermonette today. The law was done away, this scripture wouldn't be in this book. Go to John 15, please. This is a section of scripture that was read last night. John 15, starting in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's literally no separation there, brethren. Jesus is just making a point. He and God the Father are perfectly unified. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to be laying down one's life for his friends. The third point that is made in Paul's expression to Timothy is a sound mind. The mind of God, to judge righteous judgment, to have the wisdom of God, godly perception, and godly discernment. 1 Corinthians 2. Starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that we might know that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The greatest mind that has ever, ever, ever been. Jesus Christ. He had the fullest of the mind of God the Father. You know, so much more can be said about all of these things. God is miraculously working with us. He is changing us by and through the leadership of his Son, Jesus Christ, by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Beginning with God's calling and progressing to our election and engaging in this race and this fight to become just like them. And it is. It is a race. And it is a fight. We are receiving the transferable attributes of God. When you look, I read earlier John 15, 1 through 8. And Christ said he is the vine and we are supposed to stay as tightly, closely knitted with him, so that we could bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. We know those fruit mentioned in Galatians 5. Those are some of the attributes of God. When you look at 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11, Peter guides us. He says, add unto your faith virtue, and unto virtue knowledge. Go ahead and put that in your notes. But these are the attributes of God. Earlier I mentioned that God is injecting himself into us. There are certain attributes of God that we do not have right now. Like God is omnipotent. He is almighty. We are not. He is omnipresent. In other words, he can be everywhere that he wants to be. There's no restriction, no restraint on God's presence in his will. He is omniscient. In other words, he is all-knowing. He knows all. You cannot stump God. You just can't. We don't have those things yet. I guess I'm just one of those people. I don't think there's one of us, or just one, me, no big deal. I guess I personally believe that when we are changed, it says we will be like them. We will love God and his Son to the fullness of ability. We will be spirit. We will have those attributes transferred to us. But we will not be more mighty than the Almighty. We will just have an incredible amount of godly power and the perfect ability to use it in according to God's will during the millennium and however long there is after that. There's something in most important for each of us to become. There is something so very important for each of us to become as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As we realize the increasing insanity that is occurring in this country and on this earth, as we recognize it more and more with each passing day, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are trusting in God. We are becoming more trusting in God. And we need to, brethren, to come to the point where we totally and completely trust God. Brethren, God is perfect. God is consistent. God is completely honest. God cannot fail. God is faithful. God always completes what he begins. God never shirks a task. God remembers and fulfills all of his promises. God is devoted totally to his covenants. Share with you a question for myself. Am I becoming this trustworthy? Am I on a good path to becoming that trustworthy? One of the greatest compliments that a saint can receive from within the house of God, from your brothers and sisters in Christ, he's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. She's worthy of trust. He's worthy of trust. He's dependable. He's competent. He's capable. He's a problem solver. All within the love of God and the love for me. I'd like you to go to 1 John 3. Brethren, I mentioned at the very beginning of this message of the tragedy that a whole lot of people in this country are suffering. To lose your mind has just got to be, I don't know if I can safely say that someone who has lost their mind knows that they have lost their mind. How many of y'all have ever dealt directly with someone that has severe Alzheimer's? Go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. It's prevalent. I marvel at the experiences that I've witnessed. I've just witnessed them, just been put in that position. And I'm so sad that there's very, 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 very little I can do to help them. All I can do is guide and direct their loved ones to help keep them safe. That's the primary purpose that I go into people's homes, is to help them be safe. I met a gentleman that had Alzheimer's so severe that he had absolutely no short-term memory. I think I've shared this with some of y'all in the past. His wife could be sitting right over there, and he could look at her, and he knew who his wife was. And as all of a sudden he'd take his eyes off of her and look at me and say, "Have you seen my wife?" First time I experienced it, I just thought he was kind of kidding. And I said, "Well, yeah, she's right there." And he goes, "Oh, there you are. Don't you go anywhere. Have you seen my wife?" And within about 5 minutes, I suddenly realized this was this man's reality, because I looked at her eyes. The epitome of heartbreak. Epitome of heartbreak. On the one hand, I met another little lady. She had what we called happy dementia. Don't mean to belittle anybody with that at all. But I'd come into these people's homes. I'd work with her husband. She was always sitting in the same place in her kitchen. And I would walk in, and she'd have her little cup of coffee, and she'd go, "Well, hello, how are you doing?" And he'd look at her and go, "Honey, you know this is old Red Line. He's my therapist. We're going to be in the living room." "Okay." We'd go into the living room, work, 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 work. I'd come back into the kitchen with him, and she'd look at me, and she goes, "Well, hello, how are you doing?" And all of a sudden, it was the same repetition. I could walk out of that room and come right back in, and I'd get the exact same salutation. She had happy dementia. She was just the most beautiful little face, and he cared for her with all of his life. What's it like to lose your mind? Brethren, we have been given the mind of the Almighty God. 1 John 3, starting in verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Brethren, there's the summary of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. This evening we will enter into the feast of unleavened bread to be pure, to continue in this purification that we do in our lives. Brethren, am I worthy of trust? Am I becoming the servant that is pleasing to God in every measure of my life? A servant in the house of God, is there any greater honor? I challenge you. Come to me. Tell me, I know a greater honor than being a servant in the house of God. Tell me. Prove it. Prove it. If you think you can prove there's a greater honor than being in this house, you don't understand what God is doing. You don't. There is nothing higher. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more magnificent that can be bestowed upon a human being. Brethren, when I was a child, I was visiting with my mom one time, and she was sharing with me the experiences that she went through when she was a little girl during the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. And then she, like millions of others, entered into World War II when she was in college at Texas Tech University in Lubbock. And she said, never was there ever a time that the United States of America was more united. She said she, even to the final days of her life, she still marveled at how unified the United States of America was because of a common trial, World War II. But as God called me into His church and I became a little bit more aware of history and God's intervention in the keeping of His precious promises to Abraham and why the United States and Great Britain were as they were, and I came to realize that the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, though they may have been caused to a certain manner by man, God used those things to prepare a people for World War II. I'm a firm believer in it. I've talked to too many World War II veterans that went through the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. It made them resilient, incredibly creative survivors, tough as nails, strong, brave, capable. And they rose to the occasion. Brethren, the Church of God is no different. The Church of God has had an incredible amount of peace, if you will. We have not been persecuted yet. We have not. But Christ said we would be persecuted because we live this way of life. We are being trained. We are being prepared. We need to be made aware of it. We need to be mindful. We need to be being aware that these sweet times of meeting together right here on this Sabbath without someone busting down that door to arrest us. Now, am I saying that's coming? Possibly. California is already engaging in incredible challenges just simply because of the name of Jesus Christ. It's not because they are the true Church of God. It's just because of the name. It's incredible. We're in the midst of some of the greatest moments in history. We need to be preparing. The lion's share of the work of God is occurring in this nation, and there has never been a time in history that is crying out for the church to be unified, to be more unified than we've ever been before. We should return to the unity that is revealed in Acts 2 and 3, to be that unified. How trustworthy am I? Do you trust me? Don't answer that question, please. But why do I mention this? This past Thursday, I went into a lady's house, and her daughter looked at me and said, Mr. Redline, I see that you are a medical professional, and you've had your shots, right? And I said, no, I haven't had my shots. Oh, you haven't. Well, my mother has. And she held up a little card, and on that card, it showed that she had had COVID-19 vaccination number one, and a little date, and then COVID 19, vaccination number 2, and a little date. And it was, what am I trying to say, in a plastic case, laminated. Thank you very much. And then that young lady, her daughter said, did you know you're going to need this to go into a grocery store? And I went, really? Where'd you hear that? Oh, I could see this coming. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it in the news. But can you imagine being in the church of God and not being, if you decide not to take the vaccine? And that's all I'll say about that. But you walk up to Crest grocery store and they meet you at the door. Let me see your vaccination card. Oh, of course, you're totally honest. Oh, I don't have one. Well, you can't come in here then. Mr. Redline, I can't come in and buy groceries. Do you have some groceries? Is the church going to come to be very, very dependent on each other? Brethren, I'm not saying this is going this direction. Please don't misunderstand. It's just that I can see it as a possibility. We have got to be very, very dependent on each other as we depend on God. I truly believe that we are moving into some of the most incredible times in the history of the church. Be prepared. Be mindful. Be attentive. Be alert. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not supposed to be paranoid, freaking out, going nuts. Just be alert. Be attentive. Stay as close to Jesus Christ and God the Father as you possibly can. Brethren, last night was my 40th Passover. I asked the precious gentleman sitting next to me, how many was it for him? He said, it started in 1968. Been around quite a while, seen a lot of stuff. Still here. As I see other brethren that have been here for quite a while that have seen a lot in life. Brethren, I continue to marvel at God's intervention in His children's lives with understanding of the Scriptures. No matter how long they've been in the church, Dr. Donald Ward made me smile here a few weeks ago when he gave a sermon message about John 17. He called it the Lord's Prayer for the Elect. And I'd like you to go to John 17 because he said how many times he had read this scripture. And then when he was preparing this message, the message that he was bringing, it suddenly just exploded out of the page right into his life. And he just had to stare at it and stare at it and stare at it and marvel at it because he'd just never given it the depth of attention and awareness and understanding that he did at that very moment. John 17, starting in verse 22. Jesus Christ, of course, in his prayer. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Emphasis upon that verse 23. And have loved them as you have loved me. Dr. Ward just simply was stunned when he came to a deeper realization that God the Father loves him as much as he loved Jesus Christ. That's how much God the Father loves us. It gave a whole new meaning to John 3:16. The world can throw an awful lot of chaos towards us. You can put it in your notes. I know you already know about the scriptures from Romans 8, the second half of Romans 8, talking about nothing shall separate us from the God, from the love of God that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing. No trial, no test, no challenge, nothing can separate us. We have immediate, instantaneous access to God the Father. Speed of thought. Nothing faster. The speed of thought. Dear God, help me. How fast was that? Don't mean to throw up a flippant prayer as a demonstration. It's just that fast that we have access to the Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are in unprecedented times. One of the primary purposes we have been called into the Church of God is to care for each other in a humility that desires God's will to be done above our own. Another question for me is, am I available to serve in the house of God at whatever time I'm needed? I'd like you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we're drawing towards the conclusion of this message. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. I read the Forerunner commentary about a unique scripture here. You can just put this in your notes as well. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are considered, those who have been given the Holy Spirit, we are considered to be the temple of God. Look at something that happened in Matthew 21. And this is the emphasis that we should pray without ceasing. In Matthew 21, there was an event where Jesus Christ returned to the temple. This was right before His final Passover. Matthew 21, starting in verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to Him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, If you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Brethren, it's just that interesting statement that Christ just simply stated. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Can I honestly say that as a temple of God, I am a house of prayer for God? I cannot. In reference to 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. I don't pray without ceasing. I don't do that. I'm very, very easily distracted. But in these days and age, as we prepare, as we have unleavened our homes, as Christ unleavened the temple, and we have unleavened our homes, we should be more diligent about being unleavened completely, fully, in our own personal lives. Our prayers. One of the greatest resources that God gives to His children. It is another gift from God. A deeper appreciation and respect for His will in our personal lives. Our prayers must be in the strongest of consistent efforts to seek and attain the unity that is with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ stated in the 17th chapter of John that eternal life was to know God the Father and the one whom He sent, Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that this prayer for the saints from our Lord was just as He was concluding the Passover? How much more do you want to know God the Father and the one whom He sent? My strongest recommendation to you, not meaning to put anybody in this room on the spot, if you are not baptized, seek it with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Seek it. Desire it more than anything. Make it a goal to keep the Passover next year. To have the priceless honor to have the Spirit of God and to enter into His Passover of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's one of the greatest honors that will enable you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and of His Son, our dear God. Final question. How badly do you want to know God and be a trustworthy servant in His house? Happy Sabbath, brethren. May you have a most magnificent evening. And feast of unleavened bread.